Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
What you say now?
All right.
Come on. What you say now?
All right.
What you say now?
Come on.
What you say now?
All right.
What you say now?
Come on.
What you say now?
All right.
GP, sing it with me. Oh, come on. All the young people driving down the street in their Jeeps. I want you to pump this up real loud so the neighbor can hear you. So it can be one time for your holy mind. Here we go.
Woo! You are the only one who makes me feel this way.
Turn
my mind today. Lord, I just can't do that.
Put your hands together.
Baby, you are the only one who came and took me in. You've been that kind of friend. You're the only one. You're the one.
I wonder if I can get all the young people everywhere. From the East Coast to the West Coast, I lift your hands in the air and praise them like your dress don't care. And I get you in L.A. and Miami too, New York City and Dallas, Texas too. Come on and lift those hands and praise them. I feel a Holy Ghost thing happening. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Come on, come on.
You are the only one who makes me feel this way.
Come on. Gun down and put your hands up in the air. Cause I'm here to let you know that ain't nobody mad but the devil, and give you praise to Jesus. Cause he's the one that sets you free. Free indeed. And that's what I'm saying. So I want everybody out every place you go. There's one thing about Jesus I really want you to know. That ain't nobody take it high because he's the Messiah. And the devil, guess what? He's still alive. Come on, for the night. What you say now? respect everybody out there that's trying to take it to another level. God bless you indeed. Because, listen, if you don't mind, I know we're trying to go to the new school, but you don't mind if we go back to the old school just for 1 minute and hear from the old school. Come on, can you help me out? Can I get a witness in it?
Omega 7 in the house, live, coming to you straight from my living room, family. So how's the African family, and how are the children? We are embarking on a new segment, ladies and gentlemen, segments from my new book. Once again, we are in the period of talking about the Aries segment of relationships. If you check your celestial stars, you'll see that there is a change in the celestial stars. We made that transition, and we are reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century for the African American. That's why we're looking at the marriage vows and the licensing. Do we need licensing? Should we be looking at something else? We're going to be talking about reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century. We're going to be looking at sporting, dating, contractual agreements, and also unions during the courting stage. We're going to be talking in detail about those contractual agreements, ladies and gentlemen. We're also going to be speaking about marrying ourselves to the community. We're looking at doing it the African style. And the African style will be prospectively looking at customs, rituals, and tradition from our ancestors, not from the Eurocentric perspective. Let's get it clear. Don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. If we are talking from a way of lifestyle in the African communal settings, such as Ifa, Yoruba, and looking at the Kemetic, then we can talk from a perspective of how we do things that are customarily for us. That's why we ought to be looking at pornography, pornogamous relationships, and monogamous relationships, and we certainly should be looking at polygamy, because it's definitely in order. Now, open relationships, we're going to discuss that too, and who can benefit those later on this week in the discussion. However, we're focusing in on courting, dating, and sporting. What is that all about, ladies and gentlemen? And how does African Americans court nowadays with the economic perspective, when no one has a job and everybody is going Dutch these days and splitting the cost? How do we deal with that? And how many mates can you have? And is it important to date a number of people until you learn a little bit about yourself? That's what we're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you are interested in courting? Don't jump into a contractual agreement right away when you haven't courted any men. Court those men. Court those women. Sport them. Have a good time. Go out on the town and show them off. You'll be Mrs. Money and he'll be Mr. Money, because most of the time we're marrying into a union, and we have to understand what are our assets, what are we bringing to the table. And if you're dating, ladies and gentlemen, do a good job of dating as many people as you can. Now, during that time, you're not appropriating. You're not creating any babies. You're not having children, even though it is definitely necessary in a relationship later. But during the first 6 months. You are dating Bill this week. You're dating Bob next month. You're dating Joe in between that, and you're having a great time. But you're using protection, ladies and gentlemen. You're not involving yourself in sexual intercourse without that protection. However, I wouldn't tell you to remain celibate because that would be completely off the record. If you are dating, you're an adult, you must learn how to conduct yourself when you're in these relationships to know that you're not producing babies and boarding babies, but you are being intelligent adults and protecting yourself. Now, remember that this is 6 months. However, you will go into a two-year contract agreement once you decide to stay together. Now, during that time, ladies and gentlemen, there will be no appropriation either. You will go and get yourself on birth control pills, and you will prepare yourself so that you don't produce children out of wedlock. During that time, you are spending time focusing in on that man. He's focusing in on you. But don't forget, he's going to bring that dowry, that $1,000 dowry or whatever he has in his treasure chest that he can offer you and your family, preferable a $1,000 certificate so you can have in your name and you can deposit so you can have funds in the bank. That's right. Africans believe in dowries. And after those first 2 years, you're saving your money. You're putting money away aside for your children and for that house that you're going to purchase. Didn't you know it? You're going to have to make some investments. Then after your two-year marriage, you look at whether or not you want to go on into a three-year additional contractual marriage. Now, remember, nobody has gone over to the courthouse to get a marriage license. You're not married. You're in a contractual agreement, a union, and it's perfectly legal, ladies and gentlemen. You know how I know it is? Because there's many polygamy situations where the first initial wife gets the license, the marriage license, and the additional women go and get a contractual agreement. A contract is legal, ladies and gentlemen. So during the next 3 years, you renew that marriage for three more additional years. Mind, in the meantime, you're saving your money, putting your money in the bank, preparing to move into your new apartment, townhouse, or whatever, but you are saving your money and you're not producing children. Upon that five-year marriage, you will be issued a permanent five-year contract agreement, and then you go into your 10 years. This is where you begin to make a decision if you want to go out and get that marriage certificate, which is referable at that point. You have assets, you have material assets that may need to be distributed and split in the event that you should separate. At that point, you marry yourself to the community, ladies and gentlemen. Once you marry yourself to the community, you are a nuclear family. The community is married to you. You can take on additional married couples into your nuclear circle if you should choose. At that point, you can broaden your marriage as many times as you want. But they have to be a discussion of administration looking at your finances to see what they're bringing in. If you're bringing them in to increase your economic status, then there can be reasons to bring them in, not just because you want to bring in another boyfriend or girlfriend. You must bring them in to advance your economic status as you grow as a nuclear family. Yes, there's open marriage going on in that point for you and that couple because there are many couples that you could take on, but preferably take on just the one and then add on and have meetings in between that to determine if it's appropriate. Now, this is an open marriage that can be workable, ladies and gentlemen. You all at this particular point have a contract together. However, that one couple has the marriage certificate, and in having your contracts at that point, you rightfully divide up your material things in the event that someone transpires. You don't want to get into a tizzy over material things and start getting into cat fights about who owns what. Now, Africans have always lived in a communal setting, ladies and gentlemen. They've always had a monogamous situation, many wives, and the children weren't considered as bastardized children because there were fathers to take care of them. We're going to be looking at that a little bit later on this week, ladies and gentlemen. You definitely want to join us. Naomi is going to bare her soul during this whole segment and tell you a little bit about my 36-year relationship and how I can get some help and assistance for my new transition out of the 36-year marriage and into a new courtship relationship. I will be selecting two kings for a day, and I will select those on a special Saturday, and that first Saturday will be one gentleman selected, and the next Saturday they will be answering to the cliche, what Empress only wants. And if they can tell me exactly what an Empress needs and what only wants, then they will be selected, and there will be prizes and gifts, of course, that they can receive. We haven't decided if there will be any type of courtship because that has to be materialized later. But nevertheless, you want to join us, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be a part of this show. Definitely. I do have a guest that's waiting out there on the phone lines, and I'm going to go to that guest in just a minute. If you will just let me go to station identification, this is all about relationships, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Stay tuned for station identification. Heaven hooked us up.
Why did you go get on the internet? You're knocking us off. Yeah, you did, because it's been on all the time. Now we're knocked off. I can't even do nothing there because we're off.
Okay, we're going to go to station identification, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a guest in the audience, and I'm going to try to answer her question. Guest, are you in the atmosphere? Hello.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
I hear you. Hello, guest, you're in the atmosphere.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me? I'm here, but can you hear me?
I'm not able to hear you, but I'm going to talk to you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Mrs. Harvey, can you please tell me what exactly do you think is considered as an open relationship, if you may, if you're familiar with that, or if you can talk to me a little bit about courtship in the olden days, what did they do with courtships, and how were they conducted before?
You need to get off the computer.
Okay, now we came back.
She conducted. I can't hear you. And she was the one that was responsible for getting together. And we had a certain time to go and a certain time to get back.
Well,
how come I can't hear nothing?
Hello? Uh-huh. Did you try to do a two-way call?
No, I just called
into
my patient.
Oh, no.
Maybe I got to go in and push the button.
Okay, Maddie?
Hello?
Okay, keep talking, Maddie.
Her daughter to go out with the young man, and he had a certain time to be back. And if they're not back in that time, that would be another. That would never. He could never date her again. So they were restricted to come and ask for her to go out again because he refused to meet the obligations of that date.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, I want to say that this show has been designed specifically for African Americans to talk about reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century. And we're looking at how we can fashion our dating, our courting, and our sporting Some people may not be familiar with the term sporting, but let me try to give a definition for that. There have been times that men have seen women who had clout in the society, in the community, economically. They not necessarily would have to know that woman, but just know that she exemplified economic status. And to walk into a vestibule escorting that woman could improve his economic status or his business. So he tended to want to find the women that were most affluential to sport out to an event. And that's what I call sporting. And there's a lot of VPs who are doing that, and they're involved in administrative work where they cannot get away. So they periodically like to go out and have a man that has certain amount of dollars and economic status behind him. And they go to dating service to find this. They're legally doing it now. And my position, ladies and gentlemen, I am a marriage and family relation, a family life educator who works with relationships. And I have been counseling couples in polygamous relationships for about 15 years, one couple who I've worked with. So not to fashion myself as the expert, but what I will say is I'm expert on courting because it happened to me in courtship relationship, and I can relate to that. However, we're opening up the airways to talk to you about something brand new, and that is to look at reordering our marriage vows for communal situation. We are Africans. We are not Europeans. We have carried on in our relationships and marriages for eons as if we're Europeans. We must honor our customs and tradition, and polygamy has been one custom that the African-American woman has created. We have abandoned it. We want to take it back. We want to dust it off, renew it, call it something brand new, and reissue it to the world. What we also want to do is to make sure that this time around, in reordering our vows, we are not so quick to go and get a marriage certificate as we are to write a good, sound contract and go into a contract agreement. We just talked about our new program that we're creating, and out of this institute, we hope to create the courtship for 6 months, and after the 6 months, the gentleman who wants to go on with that relationship must bring a dowry to that young lady. And that dowry is a monetary amount of $1,000 that she has to put away in her savings. There then is a 2-year trial marriage. During that 2-year trial marriage, that young lady and the man are not married. They have a contract agreement. They're not appropriating. No children are born during this time. And it is exclusively instructed in the writing that there will be no children born during the time you're courting, getting to know one another, and saving your money to build the family. After the 2-year marriage, then if you're ready to renew that for 3 more years, you go into a 5-year marriage. And upon saving your money at that point, after the 5 years, you are now looking at appropriating. You have money in the bank. Oh, boy, why don't you tell me what you think? Now you can do something. After the 5-year marriage, and don't tell me it won't work, I did it in my marriage. The first 5 years, no appropriation. We made that decision that we had to get to know one another and save Filthy Lucre. When you go up on that 10-year marriage, this is where you can then go to the courthouse and request a marriage license at that point. You have monetary gains at that point. You have assets that can be liquidated. It could be a legal battle. So at that point, you then request a marriage certificate. That's optional, of course. However, I recommend you do. At that point, you marry yourself to the community in African communal marriage. And you can also take on other couples in that nucleus family. And you can enlarge your nucleus family. No other outside men and women are allowed for you to appropriate with or to lay with because you have your circle of family. And you stay in that tribe, and that tribe enlarges. But you don't go out and get another partner without consulting the tribe. That prevents you from sneaking around, engaging in outside sex when you're bored with that one person. Kings and queens do get bored with one another. And remember, positive sex is definitely on the agenda because we have to learn all the ways to satisfy ourselves. And we have to understand that because we're kings and queens, our energy and our frequency is what we're trying to satisfy. So in that circle, you would hope that you are going to engage and invite other kings and queens in with high energy levels because sex only is designed to elevate your recycling energy. And your kundalini is what you're trying to rise up. And sex is not always for appropriation, but during this 10-year time, you can appropriate children. You have funds in the bank. You have a contract laid down as to who will get what in the event of your passing. And at that point, the legal business has been taken care of. And the community has legal rights to come in. That you become the community. You have legal rights to come in and give input on relationship problems. And keeping that circle, that nucleus tribe together. You are married to each other. Africans have always married themselves to the community. That's why their relationships have lasted. Now, that is one tribal setting. And the tribe has to consult the tribe for issues. You don't go off on your own making individual decisions. That's what makes the tribe strong. We will be talking about that a little bit later, ladies and gentlemen, but I just want to equate you to some of the things we're doing. Now, we have a guest in the audience, Mrs. Harvey, but before we go back to Mrs. Harvey, because our program is a little different today, we're going to bring you a station identification, and I think that's in order. So stay tuned for Heaven Must Have Hooked Us Up.
A complete woman, so impossible, but glad I found you and made you mine. And you never judge me for my past, my play away from way back. You still gave me a chance, and I'm glad this would be your man. Cause you're so perfect, like an angel, so precious, like a just what I pray for. Girl, I know heaven hooked us up. so good to me, and I want to thank him for bringing you into my world. La da 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 da.
Welcome back, family. And you have Omiyika 7 in the house, live, coming to you right from my living room. We have a guest in the audience, Ms. Harvey, and we're going to ask Mrs. Harvey a little bit about courting. As I indicated earlier, we're talking about courting, sporting, and dating. And remembering back in my old school days, I did a lot of courting, enjoyed myself. Mrs. Harvey was instrumental in raising 11 girls, watching them court. So I'm going to ask her opinion of what it was like when her daughters were courting. Mrs. Harvey, can you tell us what it was like?
It was not easy with 11 girls, and most of the girls, in that time, they didn't know what to do. So when my girls went out on dates, I kind of briefed them beforehand what I expected from them and what they were supposed to do on that date.
Ms. Harvey, did you ever allow your girls to go on dates alone, or did they have to have an escort?
Well, one of the times the girls had an escort, but after that I trusted them and they didn't have an escort.
Ms. Harvey, do you remember one time when one of them had to go out on a date to the drive-in, and one of your daughters, Melinda, had to straggle along, and she made the date so miserable that the other daughter came back and swore that she would never go out on another date with an escort? And what did you decide to do about that?
Yes, I decided that Melinda had to have a waiting period before she would go on a date again, and she was also talked to about that, and she finally refrained, and she begged me could she go out again, and I wouldn't let her go out for quite some time until after I thought she was very much acquainted with what she did and how she did it, and I felt that she was needing a little more time, and so after a while, I did let her go out on the date again.
I see. Now, Mrs. Harvey, dealing with 11 girls and trying to get them all married must have been some ordeal for you. Did you ever experience large amounts of boys being around the house? And what did you tell your girls before they went out on the date? What was your normal routine talk as to how they were to conduct themselves around boys when they were courting and going out on a date?
Well, one of the things I was going to, excuse me, I told them that sex was something that they could participate in. That was the main thing. You go out and you have a certain time to go out and a certain time to be home. And you restrain yourself from going anywhere with any of the boys having sex.
I think that's a good suggestion, Ms. Harvey. I think it really worked out well for you, all 11 of your girls. Most of them became married, and they were not all pregnant out of wedlock, I understand. And what are some of your secrets that you taught your girls about how to attract a man? And what were some of the things they had to do if they were interested in a man that you told them to do to let that man know they were interested? I mean, what kind of magnetism attraction did you tell them to use?
They had to find out something about the man that they were attracted to. And when they found out little things about him, some of the things that he enjoyed doing, they kind of letting him know that they enjoyed the same thing.
And I agree with that, Ms. Harvey, because there was never any man that I couldn't get to be attracted to me because we had little synchronicities of things that we would do to let the man know that we were available and interested. Most of the time, I found that, you know, the energies of your body also send messages out to that person subliminally. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because some people have like attraction and you can find that those people don't have anything in common with you, but you have a magnetism attraction to their body. And is there anything wrong with having attraction to a person's physical body?
No, it's nothing wrong with it. Once you know that, and you become aware of that, and you know that, so you restrain from what they're calling for.
You know, Mrs. Robbie, I think the way that a woman dresses and what she puts on is very important, because if she reveals too much and gives the open impression that she's loose and has her clothes so revealing to the point that it leaves nothing for the imagination, it could run a man away thinking this person is too loose.
That was some of the things that I talked to my girls about. I told them that the dress appearance was the main thing. You dress if you wanted to act like a lady and look like a lady, you should dress like the one.
Absolutely.
And you should never go out.
Absolutely. I certainly believe that. Now, let's go on to some little bit more strenuous things. Now, you had your 11 girls, and you gave them the little pep talk as to what they were to do. Now, they've been dating for a while, and you see them with several different men, and every week a different man is coming according. What is it about girls that they need in their home? Should men be allowed to come and court the woman in their home? And should the family cooperate and you have a courting room set up so that they have somewhere to go other than running the streets?
Very much so. I think the home should be a place where they can come and sit and relax and originally get to know each other.
Yes, and I think it is too, because that way they won't have to sneak around, they won't have to get hotels and engage in extramarital sex. Now, sex shouldn't come into picture for a long time, and as you know, Mrs. Harvey, we're talking about getting women involved in courting. Where are some of the best places they could go to meet a guy? I found that most women who don't go to discotheques have a hard time looking for men, but I definitely think that there are places that are out there, like dating organizations that you could become a member of, where you can support these people on several occasions and do things and activities in groups where you're not alone. And while you're in those groups learning the people and week after week meeting with them, you can find who you're attracted to, and you'll see that it is a normal attraction and that it's real and it's not just infatuation. Because some young girls become so infatuated with love, they fall in love with everyone and they have nothing in common. What do you think about that?
What do I think about that the ability of meeting a young man?
Yes.
I don't know what it is, because you can meet a young man at the grocery store.
Okay.
About walking down the street. But it all depends on where they would like. If they like to go to a baseball game, that's where young men are there too. And there's certain teenage places, teenagers that they meet more in college.
Very good, Ms. Harvey. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to speed up things because of our time, ladies and gentlemen. We have a group of women that are being trained and being managed for courtship. Nowadays, courtship is all out of whack. You don't have young people courting. They go to a dance with a group of women, and they stay with that pack rat, and they don't linger out to meet those guys. They don't even get to know anything about them. And if one looks at them and winks their eye, they're ready to go to bed with them. That young girl is then vulnerable to get involved in sex and not know a thing about who the father is. We've got to do something about it, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot have children going out on their first day doing all this, involving themselves in sex. Now, that's why tons of sex is so important. That's why it's important to send these women to parenting classes and sex education. Courting is no joke, and dating is no joke. When you want to take trips, save your money, go on trips and meet men on the Internet. That is another way of meeting young men. And don't tell me that you are going to engage in all these relationships because you're meeting so many men. The more men you meet, and the more women you meet, the easier it is to determine what types of men and women you want in your circle. And when you get a better handle on who you are and what you want, You will know exactly what you want. And that's what this show is going to be about this season, what the Emperor only wants. Because I am going to be looking for another mate, and I'm going to be putting it out there. There's certain things that you bring to an Emperor that you don't bring to anyone else. Now, I'm going to be looking for those young men out there that have what it takes to appeal to an Emperor. And an Emperor is a king and a queen, ladies and gentlemen. I can wear both hats. And I want to say this to you, because our time is running out here. I'm going to say you don't want to miss the show tomorrow. Tomorrow we go right into contractual agreements, and we're going to bring in experts to help us find out how to finish chapters in Omi's book. And we are going to go on with discussing monogamous relationship, open relationship, and how to write a decent contract. And then for those marriages who have divorced, we're going to work with them in co-parenting. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You have the Empress of Family Relation here, and we're going to serve it up kind of proper life. And right now, I'd like to bring you back to Heaven Must Have Hooked Us Up.
That you